You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Grace, amen. Bless you. Thank you so much. Grace and truth be multiplied to you. It is an honor for me to be here to worship you and to worship with you and to worship our God and our King. As Pastor said, I'm the proud pastor of Crossway Christian Fellowship, Southwest Houston, and I bring you greetings from my congregation. I want to also thank Pastor Greg for this great opportunity, this marvelous honor that I get to stand on this stage where many men of God and pastors and preachers of time gone by, and I'm honored to stand here and declare God's word to you today. If you find your Bibles, or you maybe have your iPad or phone or mobile device, turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 10. It's going to be our study for the morning. Now, I know my responsibility this morning. My responsibility here this morning is to bunt and get on base. And it's Pastor Greg going to hit it out the park next week. So I'm just going to bunt and get on base this morning. Daniel chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Won't you stand with us for an honoring of God's word as we read it together? Daniel chapter 10, starting at verse 1, and it reads, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the message was true and one of great conflict, but he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks, and I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine into my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were complete." Paraphrasing, he didn't take a bath. "And on the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold and ephod. His body was also like braille, and his face had the presence of lightning. His eyes were like the flaming torches, his arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his word like the sound of tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away and hid themselves." You may be seated. Thank you. Gracious God, our Father, we come to you now, Lord. And we pray, God, that you would give us clarity of mind and speech. Father, help us to concentrate our heart to hear what you want to speak. You are the God of all sufficient grace. You're both priest, king, and prophet. And I pray, Father, that we will be receiving, that we receive understanding from the Holy Spirit. That not only will we hear your word, Lord, that we will be obedient enough to apply it in our walk. And so we give you thanks even now in all things. For it's in the name of our Christ we do pray, and all of God's people said, amen. I want to begin my message this morning by asking a question and then offering the answer. I want to give you a question, then I'm going to give you the answer. The question is this: what is the most essential element of the Christian spiritual well-being? What is the most important essential element of the Christian spiritual well-being? And the answer is hearing God. Hearing God. In other words, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Faith comes by hearing, and the hearing of the word of God. I believe that God is teaching us, or will teach us today, that without hearing God, we will not be conformed to the image of God or the likeness of Christ or bear spiritual fruit unless we hear God speak. God, in his own providence, when he decided to bring judgment on his people Israel, the way he brought judgment is that God had stopped speaking. In Amos chapter 8, verse 11, he says, "And this declared the sovereign Lord, that I will bring a famine in the land, not a famine of food, not a famine of drink, but a famine of the word of God." In verse 12, he says this, "And men will stagger from sea to sea, from the north to the east, looking for a word, but there will not be one to be found." Hearing God is essential and vital to the Christian life. Without hearing God, we are not in God. And I decided, and when I studied this passage, that God is always speaking. Heaven is not silent. And we know that from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Isaiah said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train of the robe filled the temple." There was a conversation going in heaven, but Isaiah did not hear it. And the reason Isaiah did not hear it, because Isaiah had a bad heart, which constituted a filthy mouth. Because the Bible says that the seraphims, they flew in heaven with two wings, they flew, and with two they covered their feet and two they covered their eyes. And they were saying something, not to God, but they were saying that to each other. And they were saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." And the Bible says that one of the seraphims, they took tongues and coals from the altar of God and they touched Isaiah's lips. And his whole body was made whole. And then at that moment, he heard the voice of God saying, "Who shall we send and who shall go for us?" And Isaiah, since he was cleansed with his heart, he said, "Here am I, send me." Hearing God is vital to the Christian life. And I believe that when we hear God, God will speak in such a way that we would have a dramatic change in our walk with him. As we read the text this morning, I want to give you context on why Daniel was so needing to hear God. You see, Israel in chapter 9, they were under the captivity of the tribe or the kingdom of Cyrus. For 70 years, they were in captivity. And the Bible says in chapter 9 that God had given a prophecy that a decree would go out, and after the 7 years, the children of Israel will be let go to go back to their homeland in Jerusalem to restore the temple. Daniel is not a teenager at this time, as in chapter 1. In chapter 10, Daniel is 85 years old. King Cyrus had given the decree for them to return back to their land. He had let them go. And Daniel, 2 years later, he had heard that only a fraction of the people wanted to go back home to Jerusalem. And it caused Daniel to be dismayed and discouraged, because the people had become so comfortable with Babylon that they did not want to go and serve and worship God. And so Daniel did the unusual. Daniel decided to fast and pray and mourn for the condition, the spiritual condition of his people. When we read this text in chapter 10, this is not the first time that God speaks to Daniel. We know that God spoke to Daniel by the verse in chapter 4 that God came to Daniel, first of all, in a vision. And the vision was to give the interpretation of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In chapter 7, he came to Daniel in a dream. The dream was about the four beasts that would come before the Antichrist. In chapter 9, God sent Gabriel to give the message to Daniel about the Antichrist. And again in chapter 9, Gabriel came to Daniel and gave him the sign of the prophecy of the 7 weeks, of 70 weeks. But here in chapter 10, God did not send a vision, a dream, or an angel. The Bible said in chapter 10, as we have read, that God himself, pre-incarnate, decided to come and speak to Daniel. And so there's four things I want to give to you on how, or four keys on how we can hear God speak. How do we hear God speak? There needs to be four conditions of my heart to hear God. Now, a precursor for the condition for me to hear God is the position of my heart. To hear God is to know God. To hear God is to know God. If you don't know God, you will not hear God. The Bible says, and it tells us in the Bible, and it reminds us, and Jesus says this in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. So one of the conditions that we need in order to turn our hearts to hear from God. Here's the first one. If I want to hear from God, then I need to have a heart of desperation. A desperation. Now, don't everybody get up and leave at that point. And here's why I say this. Because as Americans, we don't understand or don't look at this idea of desperation as something that we need to do. To us as Americans or individuals, even as Christians, desperation is undignified. We don't want to be desperate. Because see, here's what we are. We are can-do people. Given the resources and the time and management and money, we can do anything. Except if it's the idea that God, in his own wisdom, said these words, you can do nothing without me. Now listen, I know that is true because in our name, it says that we are Americans. We're not Americans. We are DIY people, and that's not a good thing or not a bad thing. But it is a bad thing if we don't understand that without the dependence on God, we cannot do anything. Desperation or desperate, or when you become desperate to hear God, you would then have a life-changing experience. In the Bible, there's a story in the New Testament by a man by the name of Jairus. He was a noble man and upright in the temple. He was well known. I would say he was known in the business community. But he had a daughter that was ill and near death. And I can envision him in his Hickory Freeman suit and his Ferragamos. And he's running to Jesus and he falls in the dust out of desperation. And he says, Jesus, would you come and heal my daughter? See, desperation will cause you to hear God and cause God to respond and change your life. And in the moment Jesus decided, as he's going to Bethany with this man to heal his daughter, that was a woman that had an issue with blood for 12 years. And in her desperation, She said this, if I can just touch, I feel like preaching this morning. I have a different spirit than I did at the 9 o'clock service. I don't know, something about y'all in here this morning at the 11 o'clock. But she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, she was desperate to hear from God. Blind Bartimaeus was standing on the roadside one day, minding his business, but he cast caution to the wind. And he began to cry out, Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on me. They tried to shut him up, but he was desperate to see. When you are desperate for God, it will cause you to seek God with all of your heart. Amen, Pastor. And God is looking for us to be desperate people. People of faith ought to be desperate to hear from God. Here's a life principle. The life principle is this idea that we need to cast our desperate or our dignity to the wind and let us be desperate for God. Let your desperation overwhelm your dignity. Amen, Pastor. See, what makes us desperate is when a crisis comes in our life. I know I have some parents here, if your child got sick and they needed medical care, you're gonna be desperate to find it. If you lose your job and your career and you don't know how the finances come in, you're gonna be desperate to hear from God. See, crisis brings desperation, but not only crisis brings desperation, but emptiness brings desperation. Years ago, when I was working with Promise Keepers, I got a good friend of mine here today, Bob Deese and Joellen. Good to see you all. But he wrote a book, Mickey Bonner wrote this book when I was with that ministry and I read it, and it was called Brokenness, the Forgotten Fact of Prayer. And that whole book was around this theme of Psalms 51. A broken and a contrite heart I will not despise. And until you become desperate and broken for God, you will never hear God. Here's the second thing. Not only do I need to have a desperation, but if I'm going to hear God, I need to have a desire to hear God. A desire to hear. Daniel had a desire to hear God. How do I know that? Verse 3 says, for 21 days I did not eat choice meat or drank wine or strong drink, but I fasted for that time because I was this desperate and my desperation caused me to have a desire to pursue you. And desire has this idea of passion. Can I tell you something? We pursue that which we're passionate about. We always pursue passion. And let me say this. If God's voice is not the loudest voice, then you don't have passion to hear God. I got to say that again. You missed it. Oh, that's right. Now see, listen, if I was at our church, they'd be standing up by now. Yeah, they'd be on their feet. Listen, if God's voice is not the loudest voice, then you're not pursuing God with a passion. And not only that, but priority, when you have the right priority, you have the right passion. Listen, Daniel's priority was right because of the reason why he pursued God in the first place, because he wanted others to come to know God as he knew God. And if we desire God and we have a passion for God, listen, we're going to have a passion for other people. Because God has built something in us that when we pursue him with a passion, we can't keep that to ourselves. We want to give that passion away. And young people, if you're not passionate about anything, then you're going to fall for everything. Pursue your passion, but make sure that passion is for God. And Daniel had a passion for God. And when his passion for God was this idea that I want to sue God with all of my heart and all of my mind and all of my life. Here's the third thing. When I am desperate for God, it will lead me to desire and a passion for God. But then thirdly, I will only hear God when I dedicate myself to obey God or to respond to what he's going to say. For some of us, mine included, God doesn't reveal himself at times to me because he already knows I'm not going to obey it. Daniel was different. Daniel had a dedication towards God. In chapter 1, when Daniel was a teenager, taken from his homeland and now a slave in Babylon. And when he arrived there with his three friends and others, they said, here's what you want, we want you to eat. Here's your dietary restrictions. And Daniel said in chapter 1, verse 6, I will not defile myself with the king's meat. He made a decision at that moment, well, probably before he got there, because listen, you can't make a decision in the moment. Crisis, listen, character's not developed in a crisis. It's revealed, but it's not made. And so you have to decide now whether I'm going to obey God when I hear him. And Daniel did that. And so when it got time for him to eat that which was not of God, he said, I'm not going to do it. And then Daniel became a little older in chapter 6. As he was working under King Darius, he was high rank official in King Darius' cabinet. And there were some other men around him that didn't like Daniel. So they were trying their best to trip him up. And so they went to the king and said, King, here's what I think you ought to do. You ought to make a decree that from now on, everybody in the kingdom ought to worship you, king. And the king did. He set out a decree. From now on, I want everybody to worship the king. And here's what the Bible says. Daniel heard the decree, and listen, he went back to his apartment, took the elevator, went on the patio, opened the window, and prayed to God. Amen. He had decided before the decree was given that whatever it is, I am going to obey God. Because he understood if I am to hear God, I have to dedicate my life to respond to whatever God speaks to me about. It takes dedication to understand that. And when we understand that God wants to speak to us in such a way that our hearts are towards him and honoring him in everything we do, then we will respond to God. And here's a life principle I want to give to you. God's voice is not an opinion, but a decision. It's a life principle. God's voice is not an opinion, but a decision. When God speaks, he's not happy that you heard him. He wants you to respond to it. I always hear people say, we need a word from God. We need to hear God today. And God says, are you willing to hear and obey? And I believe that Daniel wanted to obey God. And God is calling us to want to obey him. God loves us. God loves you and he loves me. And God loves me so much that when he speaks into your life, it is not like some elected official talking to you for some public interest. You are God's special interest. He has his eye on you and he's looking for you to speak to you so that you would hear him. If you don't listen to God now and respond to what God speaks to you, he will not speak to you later. Daniel was able to hear God in the present because he heard, in the present because he heard God, he would hear God in the future. Don't get in a situation in a crisis and ask God to speak. He will, but he's wondering if you're gonna obey him. This is the final thing. When I am desperate for God, I will hear God. When I am desperate for God, it will allow me to pursue God with a passion and a desire. And when that desire has taken full hold of me, I will dedicate my heart to respond whatever God speaks to me. Listen, at any cost. At any cost. I say to God, God, here's the contract of my life. Now you fill in the conditions. Obedience to God and responding what he says, saying, I understand the question, and my response is, yes, Lord. That's it. But here's the fourth thing. I will hear God when I develop discipline to hear God. Discipline to hear God. And Daniel practiced spiritual discipline. As a matter of fact, he practiced three of the five spiritual discipline that is known in Christian service, circles. In chapter 6, he practiced the discipline of prayer. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, that Daniel prayed three times a day. It was a spiritual discipline of life to pray to God consistently. But not only did Daniel practice discipline, but he also practiced scripture reading. It was while he was reading the scriptures that he ran across the writing of Jeremiah that talks about the 70 years that God would give the children of Israel release from Babylon. And here in chapter 10, in verse 3 that we just read, that Daniel practiced discipline of fasting. Our church, we're fasting for 21 days. I know you're doing it for the first month, but let me say something about fasting. Fasting is not fast, but slow. Fasting is not fast, but slow. If you want to slow down enough to hear God, stop eating. Hey, Pastor, you done lost your mind. Yeah, you stop eating. There's a lot of things you'll slow down from. Fasting is not fast, it's slow. You see, we are made of triune beings. We are body, spirit, and soul. And see, each one of them wants control. The body wants to be controlled about food and health and strength. And it wants to eat, and it wants to continue to do those things and control the body. The soul is, we said, are made up of mind, will, and intellect. And so the body is, and the mind is always seeking entertainment and pleasure. But the spirit desires the things of God. And it gets less attention. And God is saying, listen, if you want to hear me, you got to practice the spiritual discipline to hear me. And Daniel did that. Daniel practiced the spiritual disciplines that was necessary to hear from God. And let me say this about discipline, because here's why it's so important. When you practice spiritual discipline, it will cause things to happen in your life that you never thought would happen. You see, when the moment, take for instance fasting. The moment you declare you're going to fast, maybe let's say coffee. The moment you say, I'm going for a day or a week or 2 days, I'm going to fast from coffee. And everywhere you drive, there's a Starbucks sign. I have never seen more shipless donut signs in my neighborhood as I do now. It's shipless everywhere. And the devil knows that. And he knew it about Daniel's life. See, here's the thing about spiritual discipline. And this is another life principle I want to give to you. It is. Wherever there's new levels in your life that God wants to take you, there'll be new devils. I say, for every new level, there's a new devil that's assigned to your next level. Yes, sir. And God was finna get ready to speak to Daniel, but that was a battle. See, we live in two realities. We live in a seen reality. You see me, this reality, this real, I'm real. But there's an unseen reality that's taking place that we don't see. There's a spiritual warfare above our heads. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. See, the moment you think that somebody else, husband and wife, if you think that person is the problem, the very thought of that is the problem. Because there's a spiritual warfare, there's wickedness that's causing you to get to the level that God wants to get you to. And the devil knew that if Daniel heard from God, then God would use him in the right way. So I want you to hear verse 12. Let's look at it. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel. This is the angel. This is the pre-incarnate Christ speaking to Daniel in chapter 10, verse 12. Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day, what day? What first day? The first day you started fasting. The day you started your 21-day fast, or the day you started your day fast, or week fast. God says, listen, the day you set your heart to understand this and humble yourself before God, listen, your words were heard, and I have come to respond in your word. I didn't have it on the screen, but verse 13, listen, they put it on there, thank you, Lord, I didn't have it in the first service. But look what it said. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was standing in my way. 21 days, and then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the king of Persia. Can I break that down to you? Daniel started praying at day one of his 21-day fast. God said, Daniel, I answered your prayer, but he says, your prayer was on the way, but it couldn't get here. Because the devil started wrestling me with your prayers in my hand. Woo! Boy, if I was at my church right now, boy, they'd be throwing something at me by now. He says, I was on my way. You were on your knees praying, Lord, heal me. Lord, touch me. Lord, do this for me. And he said, it was on the way. I'm going to take you to a new level. And the king of the prince of Persia heard it, and he stopped the angel and wrestled with him 21 days. Woo! Let me speak to somebody. God is ready to do something for you. Watch this now. Don't stop the fast too fast. Don't stop your fast too fast. I fasted from this. I hadn't heard anything. Keep going. The answer is coming. Don't stop. I got the clothes. Y'all, I'm looking at that clock back there. I told him a tailwind was going to come, but and it came in this service. Let me close by saying this. God is the ultimate listener. Not only do we need to hear from God, but watch this. God wants to hear from us. He hears us when we pray. He hears us when we call on his name. If you want to be saved, he says, listen, with the word of your mouth, you can speak in your heart and you can be changed. And God was so in tune of us hearing him and he hearing us. Here's what God decided to do. Because he was so intimate in love with you, here's what he did. He manifested himself and became flesh. so that he can dwell among us. Not only that God wants to hear us, but he wants to hear you. I started this message with a question, and I'll end with a question, but I want you to answer it. Are you in love with God? If you are in love with God, then you will listen to God. When I was a little boy at our church, it was an old small church, and those old ladies would sing this song by Andre Crouch. They would say, "We need to hear from you. We need a word from you, Lord. If we don't hear from you, what will we do? Wanting you more each day, show us your perfect way. If we don't hear from you, what will we do?" Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for your presence and your power. Father, we want to be obedient servants. We not only want to hear you, God, but we want to respond. And so, Father, we pray to the Lord, let the meditation of our hearts and our minds be accepted to you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said,
amen. Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.